studio with me today, and I'm so excited they're here, is Zoe Gibson and Jenny Reichert, and they are from Assistance Dogs of the West. Welcome to the Children's Hour.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So great to have you with us. And also, please let us not neglect that Marianne and Gilbert are here. Hello, Marianne.
They say hello.
And Gilbert.
He says hello as well.
They are so cute. We are tweeting pictures of them. You can find us at KUNM Kids and also on Facebook. And Zoe and Jenny are part of the youth board of the Assistance Dogs of the West, because you all are pretty young. Am I not right? You're not really old people. You look really young.
I consider us to be fairly young, Jenny. I'm about to start my second year in college.
Cool. And you too, Jenny?
Zoe's ahead of me. I'm only 16. I'm going to be a junior in high school.
Fabulous. And you are both, Jenny right now, who is 16, is the youth board president right now of Assistance Dogs of the West. And Zoe's the past president. They are both student trainers and teaching assistants. Let's start at the beginning. What's an assistance dog?
So an assistance dog is a dog that helps with any variety of disabled human needs. So Assistance Dogs of the West trains for any type of service dog except hearing or blindness, because those require very different types of training. We train for dogs for PTSD, for autism, for cerebral palsy. We have diabetic alert dogs. We have seizure response dogs. We also have some dogs called courthouse dogs that will go to a courthouse, and they count as the object of comfort on the podium with a child who has to testify about some really painful things. And the dog is there to be a fuzzy, warm being so that the child can feel comfortable when they're in the same room as somebody who might have hurt them.
It's just amazing to me that these dogs can do the tasks that they do. For example, you mentioned your seizure alert dogs. How on earth do you train a dog to recognize a seizure?
Well, actually, we never have figured out how to train a seizure alert dog. We train seizure response dogs. So if you're about to have a seizure, we can teach your dog to lie down on your chest and help hold you still. We can teach your dog to run into another room and fetch your purse, which might have the medications you need. But invariably, every seizure response dog we train always ends up alerting their people. First, they start getting really agitated when their person is about to have a seizure. Then the person can train them to do a specific alert, like barking or pushing you in the leg, anything that they need. And that's how we do it. We rely on the dog to make that leap, and it always happens.
One of the best stories I've ever heard about a seizure alert dog is we placed a dog with a young girl who was in the hospital for seizures, and her dog started alerting this girl and alerting her parents that she was about to have a seizure. And they brought in nurses and doctors, and the little girl was fine, and it turns out somebody in the next room over was having a seizure. And the dog was able to detect through the wall that somebody else was in need, and so people were able to go and help that person as well.
I guess I could ask you how, and do we not know how they know? Do they smell it? How do they know?
So we also train diabetic alert dogs, and those dogs detect somebody's high or low blood sugar based on the smell in their sweat or in their saliva. Seizure alert dogs might be the same way. It also might be related to a person's change in energy. There's still research being done as to how dogs know exactly what's going on and how to, as Jenny said, alert our people for those.
You're giving Marianne, I think that's Marianne.
It is.
You're giving Marianne a lot of treats. What's Marianne doing that you're, and Marianne is wearing a, you can see the posts on Facebook, but Marianne is wearing a vest that says she's in training. What's going on with Marianne? Why is she getting treats?
It's true. Marianne is about a 5-month-old chocolate lab puppy. So she's just in training. She has a lot of training ahead of her. So I'm giving her treats for staying by me and hanging out and laying down at my feet and being a good girl, as opposed to running through the studio, going to visit people, and getting excited, as many puppies tend to do.
Yes, she is the most mellow 5-month-old puppy I've ever seen in my life.
She's a good girl.
And she's so, so cute. And Gilbert, you are too, really cute. Gilbert's fully trained, huh, Jenny?
Gilbert is very advanced. He just had his third birthday a couple weeks ago. He is staying in our program as a demonstration dog and to work in our student training programs. Due to some health issues, he couldn't be placed because we had to make sure all the dogs we place are very healthy and very able to work for a long time. But he's still a great boy, so he's going to be with us for the rest of his life, helping to train puppies like Marianne and show them what the right thing to do is.
So tell us, walk us really quick through, what exactly does training for these dogs look like? How do you teach a dog, you know, go get my purse, for example?
Our puppies start training from the time they're very, very little. I have had a litter of puppies for Assistance Dogs of the West born at my house, as has Jenny. So those puppies started training when they were 3 days old. Puppies that come from elsewhere, because we have dogs come into the program from all over the country, start training when we get them, usually around 8 weeks old. Our dogs train for about a year and a half to 2 years and know an average of 90 commands. So they know how to do 90 things by the time they're ready to go help their person. We train with positive reinforcement. So what that means is we're never mean to our dogs. We never tell them no. We never tell them that they're bad dogs. We only reward them and tell them yes for the good things that they're doing. We feel like this is a very important way to train because it's how we like to learn as people. So it's much nicer to be able to say, thank you for cleaning your room, I really appreciate it, than to be yelled at for not cleaning your room. And dogs work much the same way. So we use treats, we use stuffed animals, we use pets, all kinds of fun things that the dogs like to learn with in order to teach them things. We also use what's called a clicker, and this makes that noise. And what it does is it marks the correct behavior for the dog. So instead of telling them yes, we can use the clicker, and they know that when they hear that noise, a treat always comes. And so it helps to teach them that they're doing what we want them to do, and is a great tool to be able to train new things for a dog.
So do they ever get sick from how many treats they have if they're being too good?
That's a very good question. We are very, very careful with how much we feed our dogs so that they don't get sick and they don't get too chubby, because that's not healthy for our dogs. So when dogs are in summer camp or in after school classes, we give them less food at breakfast and dinner time because they eat through the whole day.
Okay, so right now, Marianne's being very good, but as a puppy, how do you train her to get so good at just 5 months? I mean, she's as a puppy. I mean, and that clicker, another question is the clicker. We, like, clap at our dogs sometimes, like, if they're on the couch and they're not supposed to. We go, like, clapping. And is the clicker, I mean, our dogs would think that the clicker is, like, bad.
Okay. Those are some great questions. So Marianne is so good because she comes to class with us. So she works with kids in summer programs, and she lives with trainers on the weekend who take her out into the world. Because she's a service dog, she is allowed to go into public places. So anywhere that you would go, she can go also. So she'll go to the movie theater, and she'll go to the grocery store. And part of why we do that when they're so little and still in training is because they need to learn how to behave in public places. And she's so good because even though she's only 5 months old, she's had a lot of practice doing that. So she's has a lot of training ahead of her, but she's a great little puppy and well on her way to training.
How long does it take when I'm sure every dog is unique, but what's about the amount of time it takes when you say you're graduated, now you're going to go help a person who needs you?
It takes about 2 years. So like Zoe said, we start their training very early. When they are about a year old, we'll start interviewing them with various clients who are looking for a service dog. And when they've grown up to be two, then we place them. And the placing is a two-week intensive process. It's not for the dog. It's to teach the person how to use their dog. So sometimes our dogs will stay until three. Sometimes they'll go when they're one. It varies greatly depending on the dog and how quickly they mature and how quickly they find their person.
I love it. We are speaking with Zoe Gibson and Jenny Reichert. They're from Assistance Dogs of the West. They are they're part of the youth board, and they are student trainers and teaching assistants. And we're also joined in the studio by their dogs, Marianne, the 5-month-old chocolate lab, and Gilbert, who's been very quiet, and he's a three-year-old black lab. Stick with us. This is the Children's Hour, and in the studio with us is Zoe Gibson and Jenny Reichert. They're from Assistance Dogs of the West. They are on the youth board. They are both student trainers and teaching assistants. The Assistance Dogs of the West has an International Assistance Dog Week happening. Awareness Week, is that what's happening? Yes. Starting tomorrow. Tell us what's going to be going on with that.
So it's actually not just our week. It's honored throughout the United States and a few other countries. It is a week dedicated to educating the public about service dogs, about what they do, and also how to react to them when you're in the public. So we're holding events that week on August 5th and August 6th in the evening. We're going to be at the Santa Fe Bandstand at the Plaza. We'll be handing out information about our program in particular and doing all sorts of stuff like that. We're also going to be having an event at the pet stores where people can bring their pets and see just how much these service dogs really do know. And they can try to test their pets on what we call the public access test.
How fun. So you can see if your dog is as smart as you think your dog is. Now, your dogs are assistance dogs for people with disabilities, and they can do things from as small as pick up a button on the floor and hand it to you, right? Am I right?
It's true.
And then they know that? They know when you're saying, oh, shoot, I dropped that. Go get that for me?
So part of the reason why not all but many of our dogs are Labradors is because they love to retrieve. From the time they're born, most of them like picking things up and bringing them to you. So we use that to our advantage in training because so much of what they have to do is exactly like what you said, picking up buttons or picking up a telephone. So we work really hard to train our dogs to like to do things like that. So they'll do everything from picking up buttons to opening doors for you. We once taught a dog how to help do the laundry.
Wow.
They would pick up the clothes off your bedroom floor, put them in the laundry basket, drag the laundry basket the whole way down the hallway and unload it into the washing machine.
Okay, you've set a new standard for everybody's dog at home.
We had to put the soap in.
The soap
was our task.
Golly, that is wonderful. Anna, yeah, you have a question.
Can Gilbert or Marianne actually pick something off the floor if I were to drop, like, my earring or something?
Since Marianne's just a baby, she might take a little while. Gilbert would pick something up for you without a problem.
Wow.
And do they pick it up with their mouths?
Mm-hmm.
Just like,
okay. Because they don't have thumbs, so they don't really have hands to pick stuff up for us. So it might get a little slobbery, but they would pick it up and bring it to you.
My dog doesn't do that, so it's great anyway.
Every time I see assistance dogs in public places like airports or anywhere, really, because assistance dogs, as you had mentioned earlier, are welcome everywhere in public. And that, by the way, is a requirement of federal law. The Americans with Disabilities Act does protect the use of assistance dogs everywhere, including in schools. But it's so tempting. They're so cute. You all brush their teeth, so their teeth are beautiful and white. And they're so sweet and they're so well-behaved. But really, what's the etiquette about seeing an assistance dog? I have to resist that impulse, don't I, to go love it up?
Yes, you do. And I know it's a very hard impulse to resist. I see our own dogs out in public and I want to go say hi because I know those dogs and it's so cool to see them working. The best thing to do is resist, but if you're really tempted, ask the person. Don't engage with the dog whatsoever, even if it reaches out to sniff you, which it shouldn't. Ask the person. Usually the answer will be yes. Sometimes it'll be no. Some clients choose to put do not pet me signs on their dog's vest because they just want to get through life and not have to worry about the public. I can tell you, it takes me an hour and a half to go get milk and eggs from the grocery store if I have a service dog because everybody wants to come pet my dog. So I understand the point of view from those people who don't want their dogs to be pet. But the best choice is always to ask.
Wouldn't it be great if there were so many assistance dogs, we all just got used to it? That's part of it, is it seems like there's not very many assistance dogs in the United States. You're one of, I know there's a lot of organizations doing this, but you're a big part of training dogs. For somebody who might need an assistance dog, who has a disability, who has autism, or who has, you know, epilepsy or any other number of needs for an assistance dog, even post-traumatic stress disorder, how do they go about it?
So our program works a little bit differently than some of the other assistance dog or service dog training programs in the country. We have an extensive application process that a client must go through in order to receive a service dog. So if they're interested, they'll contact the office up in Santa Fe through assistancedogsofthewest.org and begin by filling out a general application. So on this application, it includes everything from your name and your address and your birth date and things like that to what your condition might be that would qualify you for receiving a service dog, mm-hmm. what your living situation looks like. So do you live in a home? Do you live in an apartment? Do you live with other people? What does your daily routine look like? So do you spend most of your day at home? Do you run lots of errands? These questions are so important because all of our dogs are different. And it's so important for us to find a dog and a person match that works really well for both the dog and the person. And knowing all of these things helps us make that match. So once you fill out that application process, you'll meet with one of our head trainers up in Santa Fe, or if you're from out of state, they make arrangements for that to work as well. Mm-hmm. And if you're accepted as a client into the program based on all of those criteria, you begin an extensive process of interviewing with dogs. So it could take anywhere from 6 months to 2 years to find the right match. And we do something very unique where we let our dogs pick the people that they're going to be working with.
How does that work?
So we get that question a lot, and it's always very interesting. One of the best stories, and I think Jenny might agree, is a story about a chocolate lab who had interviewed with many, many people, and people loved her because she would sit whenever anyone said sit, and she would down, and anyone could tell her to do commands, and she would do them without a problem. However, halfway through the interview, if she wasn't really meant to be with that person, she would open up a crate, walk in, lay down, and wouldn't come back out.
Wow.
And so trainers would turn to the clients and say, oh, I'm sorry, this dog is just really tired today. But they knew in the back of their heads that this dog was saying, this is not the right person for me. Hmm. And it took a little while, and then she found her person. She found a little boy, and she loved doing anything and everything for him and would spend hours on end working for him without going and putting herself to bed. And when that happened, our trainers knew that that's the person that this dog wanted to be with. And they're such a great match. And I see them walking through the world all the time. And it's so happy to see that they love working together.
I love that story. I love how the dogs choose their people. That's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. I love it. Now, you two are very young. We mentioned it earlier in the show, 16 and one in college. How do you, as a young person, get involved with training these dogs?
So we have a variety of student training programs, which is how Zoe and I both started when we were very young. We open up for in-school classes, after-school classes, summer camps, which we just finished up in July. We also have some open to at-risk individuals and juvenile detention centers and those with mental and physical disabilities with the Kiva program. So for the regular student programs, after-school and summer camp, you can go on our website and find an application. And there the students will come and they will meet probably 10, 15 of our dogs. And each student will find a pairing very much like the client pairing, only a little less strong. And they will make friends with that individual dog and continue to work with that dog throughout the duration of the summer camp or the after-school program.
I love that. I love that. And the website for folks is assistancedogsofthewest.org. Julia, you have a question.
How old were you when you started at Assistance Dogs of the West?
I was 11. I started in the after-school program, and my very first day, I met a beautiful dog named Lily, who is a yellow lab, and she is now 6 years old and placed in Arizona working for a lady who has seizures.
Oh, that's so great. 11, that's so great. And are you in Santa Fe? Is that where it is? Is the program mostly based up in Santa Fe?
The program is primarily based in Santa Fe. However, we do have satellite programs in Albuquerque.
Mm-hmm.
And for more information on how to get involved with any of those, you're more than welcome to visit assistancedogsofthewest.org.
Assistancedogsofthewest.org is the website. Zoe Gibson and Jenny Reichert, they're student trainers and teaching assistants and on the youth board of Assistance Dogs of the West. I want to thank you both so much for being with us on the Children's Hour. I take it your assistance dogs, it sounds like they can go... they end up leaving you and graduating and getting their family. It could be for a child. It could be for an adult, right?
It's true.
It's whoever the dog picks. I love that.
We place dogs with children as young as 5.
Wow.
And actually fabulous. 25% of our dogs will be placed with somebody 15 or younger. So we really gear toward the disabled child audience.
Why? Why do you think it's good for kids with disabilities to have an assistance dog?
Well, it really gives them the opportunity to open up in school, to have the ability that other children have. We have dogs that would go out to football matches with their kids. We have one diabetic alert dog that, because of her, her boy can now go swimming all the way across the pool and not worry, because his dog can smell from all the way across the pool and tell the parents that the boy is high or low and that he needs to check his
blood
sugar.
In the pool. The dog can tell in the pool. That is just, I love that. That is so beautiful. Wow. That's amazing. Anna, one more quick question.
Yeah, so I was over there with Marianne just a minute ago petting her, and I was wondering, do you think, like, she loves kids, but do you think she knows the difference between a disabled one? Like, if I came up and pet her, do you think she knows that I'm not disabled at all and I can pet her? She knows the difference between those disabled
kids. That's such a great question. And one of the really important things that we try to tell people about our dogs and the people they go with is sometimes you can see when a person has a disability. So you can see somebody who might be in a wheelchair, or you can see somebody who might have a walker, or who might have a hard time using their arms or using their legs. But we also place dogs with people who don't look like they have disabilities. So it might be somebody who is a severe diabetic. So their blood sugar goes really high and goes really low. And you can't see that when you look at a person. And so these dogs are taught to love everybody they see. And as long as the person is nice to the dogs are going to be nice to the person. So they know when they're placed with a client that they have a job to do for that person, and they know that it's their responsibility to help this person through their daily lives, but they love them and they love seeing other people who don't have disabilities as well. So they can't really tell the difference except for when it's their job to help somebody who has a disability.
Mm, good question. Well, I want to thank you for being with us on the Children's Hour today. This has been Zoe Gibson and Jenny Reichert. They're student trainers and teaching assistants with Assistance Dogs of the West. If you'd like to learn more about all the great events that are coming up starting tomorrow, as well as how you can get involved, go to assistancedogsofthewest.org. Zoe and Jenny and Marianne and Gilbert, thank you so much for joining us on the Children's Hour today. Good luck this week with this big week.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for being here.